This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Ellis Reed.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I'm Ellis Reed. Oh, it's going to be one of them, is it?
It's going to be one of them.
Hannah's got the giggles.
Well, yeah. I mean, I quite often have the giggles, to be honest, when I'm with you. But there we go. It's no bad thing, though, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
It is a bit of a different episode tonight.
Yeah, we've already seen the film. Yeah. So our normal podcast schedule is completely in disarray. Because normally we talk about, you know, we've not seen the film, so we talk about what we know about it, which is typically nothing.
Generally, yeah.
Then we watch the trailer and talk about the trailer. Then we watch the film and talk about the film. All that structure's gone out the window.
Out the window completely, because we know everything now.
The film we watched was called Black Phone.
It was.
Was it The Black Phone?
I think The Black Phone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. I had some rum and raisin ice cream.
You did.
And do you know what? I just got that on an impulse. Like, I'd not had rum and raisin ice cream since the late 80s.
I don't think any of us have.
At a pinch, early 90s. I just thought, ooh, rum and raisin, I just fancy that. Since then, I've been nuts on rum and raisin ice cream.
Really?
I've been eating it at every opportunity, which isn't many opportunities. It's not like it's
not everywhere, is it?
It's not everywhere. Yeah. But I've had it a few times since then, really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had some pick a mix, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty good, yeah. Classic.
What was your favourite pick and mix item?
Ooh, I think it was the fizzy key. I like a fizzy key.
Yeah,
or like
yeah.
Dummies or whatever you call them. The big.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like the ring with a thing coming off
it. That's it. Ring with a thing.
Ring with a thing. Yeah. But we saw it about 2 weeks ago.
We did. So actually, I probably can't remember any of it.
Yeah, yeah. This might be quite a challenging podcast.
Yeah. We'll see how we get on.
Yeah. Mm. Fingers crossed.
Well, I do remember one thing. It starred Ethan Hawke.
It did star Ethan Hawke.
Classic actor who I'd not seen in anything for quite a while. And I always think of Ethan Hawke more as like a bit of a like, I think when I was younger, he was kind of more of a bit of a heartthrob young actor. But, you know, still a very, very good actor. And I think he was really good in this.
Really, quite
scary.
Really showed his versatility as an actor.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially given that he was wearing a mask for virtually all the film.
Yes, that's a good point.
Did a really good performance. So before we get on to The Black Phone,
yeah.
Have you seen any horror films other than that since we last did a pod?
I've got to remember what I've spoken to you about and what I've spoken to you about on this. Let me see. I'm going to go with no, because I can't think of anything.
So the only horror film I've seen since I saw you, as you know, last week my brother and his family came up, including my nephew and my niece.
Yeah.
And we watched Escape Room on Netflix, which actually was a lot of fun. You know, I wouldn't be adding it to my list of favourite films, but we all enjoyed it. The kids enjoyed it. You know, there was enough sort of peril and threat for it to be exciting without it being gory.
Who starred in that?
Not a clue, Hank. Not a clue.
Was it Kristen Stewart or was that something else?
No, didn't have Kristen Stewart in it, okay. I don't think.
Mm.
I tell you what, should I do a Google?
Go on, have a look.
So I think there's actually two...
I think I've seen it, but I can't...
I think there's a couple of films called Escape Room.
Oh, okay.
No, doesn't star Kristen Stewart. The top cast are Taylor Russell, Logan Miller, Jay Ellis, Tyler Labine, Deborah Ann Wall.
No.
Nick Dodaney.
It's not what I was thinking of.
This name is amazing. Yorick Van Wangeningen. That is a wonderful name. Cornelius Genie Jr. Wow. Yeah.
So you watched that?
Yeah, I don't have a huge amount to say about it, actually, other than it was sort of good, harmless... fun. Wait, just from the name, you know what it's like. Like a bunch of people are invited to try a new escape room. They get locked in and all the peril's real. They do a series of escape rooms. They escape from one to the other. Sort of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory style. They usually shed one of their number at each escape room.
Yeah.
Until there's only a couple left. Final thrilling confrontation. Bit of a twist I wasn't expecting.
Mm.
Just sort of good, solid fun.
Oh, that sounds great. No, I feel like I keep... I'm I'm doing horror things in my real life, but not so much in. Haven't really watched any films recently. So, for instance, I've been reading M.R. James Ghost Stories.
Your favourite?
Well, which one did I like the most? I've got to remember now. Oh, there was one that was really freaky. I wish I brought the book with me because I can't remember it, but it freaked me out. This guy goes to like an old church and they get like a, do you know what? I will find out what it was called and I will tell you. Because me trying to guess the name of anything is both annoying and boring.
Go on, what happened? What happened in there?
So he goes...
Because I might be able to identify it.
Okay, so there's a guy and he visits like an old church and he is kind of like, it's like a chapel where someone has been, where this old owner of the house has been buried and there's this legend that he's like still there. And some people get killed in the woods. That one I quite liked.
I can't remember.
No, that one was quite good. And there was another one fairly similar about a kind of like haunted text, which is like haunted. Actually, I think that was my favourite one, which was like sort of possessed by a demon, but it's like a book, like an old book. And this guy gets it from a priest, but then the demon kind of comes out.
Was that one where somebody's last will and testament was hidden in the book?
I don't think so.
Do you know?
But anyway, they're all very good.
They are very good. Yeah. I think my favourite is Lost Hearts, but I also love the Ghost Stories for Christmas adaptation of that. It's about a sort of guy.
Guy.
God, you know what, Han? Between
God, we're not
the lack of structure and the lack of information... I think this is shaping up to be our worst podcast ever.
Could possibly be.
It's about a sort of benefactor who adopts, like, some distant relative to go and live at his house.
Oh, my God. No, that is my favourite. That is great. In the bath. And he looks in the bathroom through the glass window.
Oh, yeah, and sees the creepy kids no hearts.
Yeah, and then the uncle tries to kill him.
Yeah,
great, that one. Yeah, actually, so that's
probably
the best.
I can't actually remember
one.
If the original story's called Lost Hearts or something.
I think it is, because when you said it, I thought, that rings a bell. But anyway, I think, like, it's a really good book. It's quite old, so it's not the easiest of reads. You know, some of the language is a bit, you know, kind of...
a little bit flowery.
Yeah. But I really like it. I'm really enjoying that.
Excellent.
Hmm.
Oh, well. I'm glad we did our little catch-up section because you had some good stuff there.
Well, it was cool, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah,
like you say, we're not the most structured this week. But,
no, we're all over the place.
We try.
Excellent. So, let's have a jingle and then talk about the black phone. You up for that?
I reckon.
Yeah, well, I don't know what else we're going to do for this podcast. All right, let's have a jingle. We saw The Black Phone, and we both really enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it a little bit more than you.
Yes, I did enjoy it a lot. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I've become a bit of a harsh critic at times. I don't know. Do you know what it is, I think? I've become a bit harsher on high-budget films.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what it is, because I've seen what absolute delights have been produced by low-budget filmmakers.
Yeah, we've seen some real quality, low-budget horror films.
Yeah.
Now we've sort of come back to Hollywood with a Blumhouse film.
Yeah.
Starring a big name like Ethan Hawke. As you say, expectations are high. But for me, it was a stone-cold 5-star movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty up there. I'm going to go 4.5.
Okay, 4.5.
4.5.
Now you've slept on it.
Now I've slept on it, yeah. I really enjoyed it. And I think it was actually very good. And really, I think it wasn't that it did anything bad. I'm only kind of docking the half because it didn't absolutely blow me away, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it.
Okay. So should we talk about the plot?
Yes. So, to kind of keep it concise. So it's basically about, you kind of got a bit of a small town.
Yeah.
Neighbourhood. And what started to happen over, I think, a few years is children have started to disappear. Kids, teenage kids. start to go missing. And you're seeing, you're kind of going around and seeing like the wanted posters up and stuff. And we're sort of getting a bit of an idea about, yeah, the fact that this is happening. And then we're kind of, then we're sort of following around the main character, who's a young lad, living with his sister and his father. I think the mother's dead, isn't she? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the dad's an alcoholic.
He's basically an alcoholic and he's struggling a bit. So yeah, these two kids, and I think quite a lot sort of, mostly bringing themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
Going around the schools is this kind of like legend, this sort of myth about these kids are all going missing because of something called the Grabber,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess they sort of think is some kind of monster. We kind of go through the story a little bit. And then at one point we're sort of seeing, we see that our kind of protagonist, what was his name, the boy?
I don't know. Should we look it up?
Yeah.
I'm going to get IMDb up so we can, like,
refresh
name
our
some
memories.
Actors for
yeah.
once. Because even when we've just seen the film, we never know who anyone is. Finney,
that's it.
Played by Mason Thames.
So Finney has a friend who is quite a tough kid at school and kind of looks out for him.
I love that character,
yeah,
by the way.
It was great, wasn't it?
Like, he was going around with like a Bruce Lee headband on, just kicking the crap out of people at school. He wasn't a big kid either.
No, quite
small. He'd learned
really
loads of martial arts.
Slight, yeah. And he goes missing. So that's kind of, you know, this is all getting closer to home. And then, am I skipping ahead to sort of talk about Finney going missing? Was there anything else that we've kind of missed?
So Finney was the main kid. The karate kid was...
Oh, no, I mean, but then Finney goes missing. Was what
yeah,
I was
then Finney
say.
Goes missing. So a couple of kids go missing that Finney knows.
Yeah.
And then Finney gets abducted. But we actually see him getting abducted. There's a guy in sort of clown makeup.
Creepy.
A creepy guy who's got like... a van for his, I don't know, magic shop or something.
Yeah, like entertainment. He's got like a big bunch of balloons and this big black van.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a kid's entertainer. And he's like, oh, I've just dropped this stuff. And Finney stops to help him pick it up. And the creepy clown guy, who was Ethan Hawke, chloroforms him and bundles him into the van.
Yeah.
Which is what's happened to all the previous kids. And I think we've seen sort of glimpses of that in the previous kids that have been abducted. There's also a kid that plays baseball with Finney who's been abducted. I think we saw him. I think that was the first scene, actually. We see Finney playing baseball with this kid.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the kid is, like, cycling happily off because he got a home run. And then he gets abducted.
Grabbed.
Yeah, he gets grabbed, yeah.
By the grabber. So then Finney's abducted. And then the kind of the next thing we sort of see is he's in this, like, basement room. Very sparse. It's literally just got like a mattress, and then this like black phone in the corner, like an old fashioned sort of, how would you call them with the big dial, big round dials? It's one of those, isn't it? Like an old fashioned phone.
I know,
your nana would have, yeah.
Yeah, what do you call them? It's like not. What do you call them?
I don't know.
It's all right, I'll edit this together on something less crap. Rotary.
Rotary, yes.
Rotary phone, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, they've got one of those in the corner. And then...
like a disconnected old phone.
Yeah.
It's not meant to work.
No. And then Ethan Hawke comes down and is kind of like, well, basically says the phone's disconnected, so, you know, don't bother. And then he's quite nice to him at first, isn't he? Well, he's not exactly nice to him, but he's sort of like, you know... keep quiet and
in his own child, yeah, in his own child abductor way,
yeah,
that's him in friendly mode. But also, I mean, in all these scenes where he's interacting with Finney, he's wearing this super creepy mask. So let's talk about the mask. Where the hell do you get a mask that creepy?
Oh my god, it's so
it's like
creepy.
A grinning demon, isn't it? And you can see it in the poster and the promotional materials for the film. But what I didn't realize, and there was a bit of a reveal, is it's like a modular mask. So although it fits together like one mask, the mouth part and the rest of it is separate.
Mm.
So in some scenes, he just has the mouth part covering his nose and mouth, but his eyes are there. In other scenes, he has the full mask on. But he's also got another mouth, which is frowning. So he's basically got a happy and an angry version of the same mask, which he changes depending on what's going on.
Mm.
And actually, the first time we saw him sat there in the frowning version of the mask, that was a really creepy scene.
It's really creepy. And he doesn't even have to do anything because the mask is so creepy. Just him sat there in silence. There's a scene where he sat upstairs in the mask in his underpants.
Yeah, and it's the frowning mask.
Yeah, and that is just so creepy. And that it really kind of makes you fearful for kind of Finny coming up. So at one point he leaves the door open as a bit of a test for Finny.
Sits
upstairs, ready for him.
Hoping
he'll come up.
So then he can punish him for having left the room.
Yeah, and I felt really frightened for him. I was just like, I literally had my hands in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, no, don't go up. Because that was just so eerie. And he didn't have to do a thing. Just that image of him being sat there was so creepy.
Now, here's an interesting question.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, people at home, this is a spoiler podcast. If you've not seen it, go and watch it and come back to us. So he doesn't fall for that trap.
Nope.
And the reason he knows it's a trap and that, you know, he's left the door open on purpose so he can catch him escaping and punish him is because the ghosts of the grabber's previous victims are phoning Finny on the black phone, which isn't connected to anything, but it still rings, to give him tips on how to escape.
Mm.
And one of the ghosts of the previous victims tells him it's a trap. You know, he's left it unlocked because he wants to punish you for leaving the room.
Yeah. And they give him all, the kids that he speaks to on the phone kind of give him all kinds of tips. Like the one says there is a loose piece of panel, doesn't he? So you can use that as like a weapon. I think one of the others is telling him about how he can get up to the bars.
Yeah.
So they're all slowly trying to help him survive his captor.
Yeah. And it's got a really nice structure to the film, actually, because each of the ghosts rings him in turn.
Yes.
With a different idea for how he can escape. And what I thought worked really nicely, because you're kind of feeling like, okay, well, each one of those didn't work, therefore each one was a waste of time. But actually in the final scene, when he does successfully escape, he ends up using a little piece of something that he got from all of the ghosts. So actually all the ghosts contributed to his escape, even though each of the previous escape attempts hadn't worked.
Yeah.
So like one of them told him how to find a piece of cable to use for something, and he ended up using that same cable to trip up the grabber.
Yeah.
Sort of went a little bit home alone towards the end. Yeah. What were they?
One of them told him how to get through the wall, and by getting through the wall, he ended up in the fridge and the freezer. So he ended up getting out like a steak
from the freezer
that he found. Used to
distract the angry dog.
Distract the guard dog, yeah.
So even though each of the previous ghosts weren't able to get him out unilaterally, in the final escape, the sort of thrilling conclusion of the film, he used something from every ghost.
Yeah.
So it ended up being like a bit of a team effort that he got him out of there. I found the conversations with the ghosts on the phone really creepy.
Yeah.
Because there's something quite uncanny about the ghosts where they didn't seem to quite, you know, they almost seemed like sometimes they were there and sometimes they were almost just like echoes of themselves.
They didn't really remember
everything
about themselves, that they couldn't really remember their names.
Yeah, he had to remind them of stuff. And the baseball kid just kept repeating phrases that he'd used in life.
Yeah.
Like, because when we first see him and he's playing baseball, he's batting and Finny's bowling. And Finny, so I think in baseball, if you throw three good balls and they can't hit any of them, they're out.
Yeah.
Or something. And the first two bowls he throws, the kid misses them. So you think he's going to strike out, but then he throws the third ball and the kid hits it for six, or whatever you call it in baseball, and gets a home run. But they're both quite good sports about it. They're obviously on good terms. And at the end of the game, he goes up to Finney and he says to him, by the way, we haven't even mentioned it's set in the late 70s or early 80s.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
And they do that really well, and they use some quite dated slang. Like at one point, Finney's sister says, she's talking about something, and she says, he's so crucial. That in this opening scene, the baseball kid says to Finney, your arm's mint.
Yeah.
You nearly had me. And they sort of smile and shake hands. So it's all very good natured. And when later he's been killed by the grabber, he phones him. Finney realizes who he's talking to because he's just repeatedly saying on the phone, your arm's mint. Mm. You nearly had me. And Finney has to tell him what his name is.
Yeah.
And stuff like that's quite creepy.
It was really creepy. And like the other kid, can't remember his name, so he gets them to call him the paper boy because he just remembers that he was a paper boy, but not his name, and he doesn't want to talk about his name. And it's just, it was the ghosts were really well done.
Yeah. And there was a couple of jump scares as well, because the ghosts wouldn't just talk to him on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they'd appear in the room with him. And I got a couple of jumps.
Quite dramatically at times. Yeah. I think you mentioned briefly his sister, and I think I just wanted to, give a shout out to that young actress.
Yeah,
because, oh my God, what was her name?
I will find it, actually.
Yeah, because she was just absolutely fantastic. And there was a scene, where her and Finney are with their father, and their father's angry with them, and their father is sort of hitting her, and she cries. But we both commented, didn't we, at the time, that she cries like a little kid would cry. It's so, like, she's such a good actress. It wasn't like that kind of very hammy crying that children do in films.
So it was Madeleine McGraw playing Gwen. I think that scene was the best piece of child acting I've ever seen in my life.
It really affected me. I felt really, really upset and almost like a bit maternal because it was so... like a child in distress. It really, it really got me. She was brilliant.
But with a flash of defiance towards the end as well.
Yeah.
So the reason the dad has a difficult relationship with Finney and Gwen. So reading between the lines, it seems like the mother was psychic, but also ended up having mental health issues and I think ended up killing herself.
I think so. That's what I read from that,
Now, some of her gift Gwen has inherited and she ends up having dreams about the grabber and seeing like little scenes and little clues that become, they play a key part in finding out where the grabber is and where Finney's being held. But her dad is freaking out because he thinks Gwen is going on the same path as his wife. And he's obviously in pieces since his wife has gone. He's drinking too much. He's angry with the kids because he's hammered all the time. So it's not a very good domestic situation at all.
No. And I think it's worth as well saying at this point, Finney also has the gift, hence why he can hear these ghosts on the phone.
Oh, of course, yeah, manifests
so
in a different way.
As well. And that was the slight thing that annoyed me a little bit. It made sense to me that these two kids have the gift. But what we then find out near the end of the film is that the grabber also has the gift. And I was a bit like, I buy the kids having the gift, but not everyone's going to have this gift.
Yeah, so... Well, it was alluded to at the start because the point of this phone is when it's ringing and he's speaking on it, the ghosts tell him, you know, nobody else can hear it ringing. It's a disconnected phone. But they say the grabber can hear it ringing too. And right at the beginning when the grabber, played by Ethan Hawke, is telling Finney that the phone's disconnected, he says something like, it rings sometimes. I think it's just static electricity on the line. But that's the first clue that he's also got this... psychic sensitivity.
Yeah, so I just felt like it was a bit... I mean, you don't know... No, we can't have everyone having the gift.
No.
You know, it's a gift for a reason. But, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. I just found that a little bit annoying.
And it was completely unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. That's exactly it, yeah.
I think the only thing it gave us was right at the end when Finny's throttling him with the cord of the phone and the handset's near his face.
Yeah.
The ghosts of the children are, like, crowing to him.
Yeah.
About how, you know, he's meeting his match. And I guess you could argue that he needed to also have some psychic sensitivity to actually hear that.
Mm.
But I don't think it mattered either way.
I don't think it mattered.
We, the audience, could hear it.
I think the children we have were really good, actors, especially the little girl.
And I thought Finny was really good as well. I would say really strong child acting.
Very strong child actors, all of them, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But especially the young girl who played Gwen.
And a really genuinely creepy performance from Ethan Hawke. And I'd also say, actually, the guy who played the dad, he was really good. He was a really good actor. I know it wasn't the biggest role in terms of screen time.
No, but I think he brought
a lot to that. Where is he? Who played him? I can't remember what the dad was called.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, whoever he was great. Was it Terrence?
Yeah, it could have been.
Maybe. Might have been Jeremy Davis, we're not sure.
No.
Sometimes hard to recognise an actor.
They sometimes look very different, don't they, when they're...
Yeah. Because in the film, obviously, he was playing like a heartbroken alcoholic. And he's not going to look like that in his IMDb
He's got a little jaunty hat on.
Yeah.
All in all, a good, really good film, definitely worth a watch.
So I tell you what I loved about it. I loved the atmosphere they created, the sort of late 70s, early 80s, whenever exactly it was. Small town, American kids. From our description, sounds very like a Stephen King book.
Mm.
And, it was based on a short story by Joe Hill. Do you know who that is?
Stephen King?
Stephen King's son.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of his aliases, maybe.
No, he's the son of writer Stephen King and Tabitha King.
It's not surprising because there were elements of that were very like It.
Yeah, very like
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
But actually, it didn't feel derivative.
No.
You know, you could say to someone, if you like Stephen King, you probably like the setting of The Black Phone.
Yeah, just but like it didn't inspiration. Feel like
a, yeah, yeah, it didn't feel like a Stephen King ripoff. You know, it had a really good sort of vibe of its own. I loved the performances.
Mm.
I loved the creepiness of the grabber and the mask.
Yeah, that was really good.
And I tell you what, the scene that sold it for me on as a 5-star film was where I think the ghost has either said to him or is going to say to him, because he's realised the door's unlocked, it's a trap. He wants you to try and escape so he can punish you. And the camera sort of slowly panned upstairs.
Oh, God.
Just waiting for him, wearing the displeased version of the demon mask, sat in his pants with a belt ready to thrash him. And it was just so well done and so creepily done. So I wasn't sure how much I'd like this, because traditionally, it's not a tradition, is it? I wasn't sure how much I'd like this, because usually I don't like horror that's based in realistic things, like child abduction. But it was just so well done, and the supernatural angle was so stylish and strong. And the characters were so colourful, and I just absolutely loved it. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. For me, it was one of the best horror films I've seen in a good while, actually.
Yeah, no, it was good. I really enjoyed it as well. I thought, yeah, that creepiness, and I was on the edge of my seat in parts.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember we saw it with Ems.
Yeah.
And at one point, she just tapped me. I looked around, and she jerked a thumb at you, and you were there, like, sort of covering your eyes, but with your fingers splayed so you could look through them.
I was properly peeping through my fingers. I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah, it really did that well. Overall, really, really nicely made. I mean, I don't think there's much to complain about at all. Mm.
You've just got to save that half star for the films that really blow your mind.
Yeah. And it was just not quite there, but very good. Thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So what I think we should do next, I've no idea how long this will be when we edit it together.
Well, we've got a quiz as well, of course.
We're going to do a quiz. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game and see who does a better job of guessing the score on the Tomatometer.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a roundup of some reviews.
Nice. To the Tomatometer.
Well, no, the quiz.
The quiz, right, sorry. To the quiz!
To the quiz. All right, Hannah, you ready for a funny quiz?
Oh, always.
So we'll start with some punning multiple choice films. I'm going to read you the description of the film. But you know what you're doing.
I know what I'm
Everyone
doing.
People at home, if you don't know how the quiz works, you soon will.
I'm a pro, come on.
So here's the plot summary. A bed possessed by a demon spirit consumes its users alive.
Ooh.
Short but sweet.
Yeah.
Is it called Death Bed? Night of the Living Bed? Pajamageddon?
Oh, that's a good one.
Valance Macabre?
Wow.
Or did I make it up?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Night of the Living Bed.
Is that because it was the least funny?
No, I liked it. It was good.
It was actually Death Bed, Hannah. Oh, it's a real film, but it's called Death Bed.
They could have done better than that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think the pun there is Death Bed normally means the bed you die in.
Yeah.
Whereas this time it's like a bed of death.
Good point. I was a bit harsh on them there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Film number two. Here's your plot summary. Paige has the same thing for breakfast every day. One morning, she's horrified to discover that her usual repast has been possessed by the ghost of a prolific murderer. Is it called Beans on Ghost?
I hope so.
Jack the Kipper? The Scrambled Exorcist?
Oh, that's a good one.
Children of the Cornflakes? Or did I make it up?
Oh, I want it to be all of them. Beans on Ghost.
Hannah made it up, I'm afraid. It's not a real film.
Oh, should be, though. When are we making it?
Yeah. We do need to make a horror
film. We do. Let's make that.
Well, I mean, we've got enough ideas.
I don't know. We've got enough titles, at least.
Well, yeah, we have enough titles. Okay, film number three. A lonely farmer tries to use a book of old spells to turn one of his animals into a beautiful bride. But when he mispronounces the words, he accidentally turns it into a blood-crazed monster.
Mm.
Is it called Jurassic Pork? Farmageddon?
Nice.
The Lamb Shank Redemption?
That is a good one.
Cow I Met Your Mother? Or did I make it up?
Oh, man. What was the first couple?
Jurassic Pork.
Yeah.
And Farmageddon.
Oh, I'm going to go with Farmageddon.
I made it up.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Hannah. Only one of the first three was real this week.
God, I am not doing well this week. I'm enjoying the titles, though.
So this is a bit awkward, because normally you now have number of pence in the prize fund going into the quick fire round. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put 15p in the prize fund.
Oh.
So you've still got something to play for.
Throw me a line there.
Yeah.
It's a good lad.
So the quick fire round.
Okay.
As always, I'm going to bombard you with the names of films. Some are real, some are made up, all are somewhat implausible. And for each film, you either have to say real or not real.
Got you.
There's how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14. 14, you have to get at least... You have to get more than half, so you have to get at least 8 right. 14, that's a stupid number. If I counted them. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Right, I'm going to have to add never mind. So you have to get at least 8. So normally I try and do an odd number so you can't get half and half.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Well,
if that happens, you can do a tie break.
Yeah, okay, good idea. So there's no theme. They're just silly sounding films and you're going to say real or not real.
Great.
And in fact, I'm going to keep track of the scores. I'm going to put one of my hands on R for when you say real and one of my hands on N. And I'll just type the letter.
Nice.
So don't throw me off my system by saying true or false.
Oh, yeah. which I do every time.
It's real or not real.
I also switch it up throughout, which is probably not helpful. Right, real, not real. Got you.
Yeah. Okay. So are you ready to start?
I am ready.
Okay. Start the clock, please. Nosferatu versus Father Pipecock and Sister Funk.
Not real.
The Polyfiller Killer.
Real.
Violent Shit, colon, the movie.
Not real.
Trilogy of Bloody Guts.
Real.
Mystery of Faceless Man, colon, History of Monster.
Real.
Potato Salad.
Not real.
The Legend of Slappy McGee.
Oh, real.
Carpetbaggers from Beyond the Grave.
Real.
Campervan of Doom.
Real.
Frank and Pimp's Revenge, colon, The Romeo and Juliet Massacre.
Real.
Zombie Senator.
Not real.
Hilda's Demon Hairdo.
Real.
Satan, Hold My Hand.
Real.
Fanny Hill meets Dr. Erotico.
Not real.
Okay.
What is the pipe cock for?
I front-loaded the funniest, I think. Nosferatu versus Father Pipecock and Sister Funk. Right, what have we got here?
Oh, my God.
Right.
Sorry.
So, because I haven't made a spreadsheet this week...
Yeah.
Right, I'll edit this down, but it'll take me a second to work out how many you've got right or wrong.
Oh, my God. I really hope that's a real film.
Right, I've marked one as real here in my notes, which I don't think can possibly be real. So let me just check I didn't get confused. I don't think there can possibly be a horror film called Potato Salad. But I've listed it as real.
It's just... I mean, it's an odd name. But, you know, maybe it makes sense when you know what the plot is.
Oh, my God, Potato Salad is real.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, Han. So the number that you've got right... Wrong.
It sounds like I'm doing great this week.
Correct. Wrong.
It's just not my week, is
wrong,
it?
Correct. Wrong. Oh, no, wrong, correct. Wrong. You've lost, Han. You've got nowhere near.
But do you know what? I didn't really get anything right this week. So, you know, at least I've just really gone down in flames.
Yeah. But
fine, I can take it. You know,
that's the first time you've gone home empty-handed.
I can't be perfect every time.
No, of course not.
Just can't.
Would you like to hear which of the films were real?
I would. That I would like.
Nosferatu versus Father Pipecock and Sister Funk.
You are joking me.
No, that was real.
Right, we need to watch that. We absolutely need to watch that.
Violent Shit, the movie.
What?
Trilogy of Bloody Guts. Mystery of Faceless Man, colon, History of Monster. Potato Salad.
What's that about?
I don't know. Frank and Pimp's Revenge, The Romeo and Juliet Massacre.
Yeah, that was quite niche.
Yeah. Satan, Hold My Hand. And Fanny Hill meets Dr. Erotico.
Is that some kind of, like, horror porn?
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Nosferatu.
Don't worry, listeners, we're not branching out.
Right, well, sorry, Han, for the first time ever, you've...
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. You've lost the funny quiz.
Absolute loser.
And on that downbeat note, let's go to Rotten Tomatoes. Cheer up, Han.
I can't.
All right, see you on the other side of the jingle, guys. Well, that was a good quiz.
Oh, well, it was a good quiz. Not a great performance by certain somebody, but hey.
The first time you're going home empty-handed.
Never mind, eh?
Okay, so we're about to go to Rotten Tomatoes. What is your prediction for the score that the Black Phone got?
93. What do you think?
I'm going to say 96.
Okay.
And I think you're going to win, actually.
No.
There. Black Phone. Oh, it's rare for me to be doing this.
Yeah, I know.
So normally you're the master of ceremonies. However,
I left my phone in the car.
Yes. Ugh. So I'm doing this on my laptop. The Black Phone got drum roll, please. Ooh, 83%.
Ooh.
So, Hen, you won. We both went too high, but yeah. I overshot by more. Ooh. So, let's have a look at what the critics have actually said.
Yeah.
So, I'll do it.
You're going to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
This is guess, a nice change, spot. Isn't it? Yeah, guest spot. Ellis Reed doing the reviews. So, well, I'll ask the classic question.
Mm.
Do you want to start with tomatoes or splodges?
Let's start with a tomato.
Okay. So this is Tara Brady of the Irish Times. Derrickson is restrained with his jump scares and succinct with world building. The black phone subverts any number of Spielbergian tropes, not to mention voguish nostalgia, with a grimy, bad old days version of the past. I don't think that really captures what I liked about the film.
Yeah.
But it's what Tara Brady liked, and she's given it four stars out of five.
And Tara liked it, yeah.
Okay, here's Sean Chandler from Sean Chandler Talks About. A tight, efficient thriller that kept me engaged from beginning to end. A-.
Yeah, I'm probably quite with him on that. Yeah.
Okay, here's James Kendrick from Q Network Film Desk. The supernatural Ooga Booga is nicely balanced with the more socially realistic elements, particularly the harsh Darwinian world of the junior high social strata.
Mm. What about splodges?
Ooh.
What didn't they like?
Ooh, I'll give you one more.
Okay, one more.
One more red tomato before we go to the splodges. This is Anthony Morris, It's Better in the Dark. At heart, this is a well-oiled suspense thriller where angry ghosts provide plot shortcuts, but the horror moments can be genuinely disturbing.
Mm.
So that's some of the positive critical notes on The Black Phone. Here's a splodge. This is David Stratton from The Australian. The young actors rise above their material, but Hawke is wasted as the killer. Strong disagree from me.
I disagree with that.
He's given it 2.5 stars out of 5, and I thought Ethan Hawke was superb.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think he's wasted. I think he just makes that role really creepy. Does a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Right, here's Charles Ramosco from Inside Hook. It's a splodge.
Mm.
A limited location, a restricted number of characters, and a narrative model rooted in sparseness all demand finesse in order to be spun into feature-length cinema. And The Black Phone shows why. For worse, more often than for better.
I mean, I don't really know where he's going with that. I don't agree.
Yeah, no, I don't agree. So Taylor Baker, Drinking the Movies, has given this a rather random rating of 40 out of 100. In cinema, when an entire plot hinges on a magical doodad and some psychic abilities, the complete and total avoidance of their interrogation discombobulates the world and superimposes a sense of falseness to its entirety. That's a critic review. That's not a user review.
Nah, don't agree. Don't like it.
Now, some weird reviews here. Should we see what the audience have to say?
Yeah. Let's go to the people.
Yeah, yeah. Do a vox pop.
Yeah.
So the audience gave it 89%.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Kathleen P. gave it 3.5 stars. You're laughing at Kathleen P.
I'd laugh at anything.
She says, great jump scares, authentic 70s everything, and a great ending. It is worth seeing in the movie theatre.
Yeah.
Devon C, 4 stars. I think you'll agree with this review. I really liked it because I couldn't predict all of it and it really built suspense well. But no movie is perfect, so 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I'm with you, Devon.
Rosalia, 5 stars, says, like, I can't even describe the movie. It's like you want to scream out and say no that it... ... Like I was on the edge of my seat. It was so good. I agree with Rosalie.
Wonderfully delivered as well, Alice.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. O.M, 1 star, super boring. I almost fell asleep a couple of times.
God. Well, what would you find entertaining?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking for bad ones. There aren't many.
I could show him a lot more boring things than that.
Okay. Rogrio A gives it 2 stars. Not even a Power Rangers villain has so little development. And the whole nonsense paranormal stuff, I mean, I start to suspect that I've watched the wrong movie because this score can't be for what I've seen. 2 stars.
I think he missed the point of that. Like, the villain's not supposed to be developed.
No.
The villain's supposed to have an air of mystery. That's the point.
Yeah, I agree. Jamie B, 2 stars. It was okay, but the movie was about children being kidnapped.
Yeah.
2 stars.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I mean, did you not get that from the trailer? I wonder what he thought he was going to say.
Yeah. I think this is better when you read the reviews and I laugh at them.
Do you think?
I certainly enjoy it more. Here's a 5-star review from SM. Interesting 3-dimensional characters, including the villain, with a wink and a nod to 80s slow burn horror thriller. Take It and Goonies with Stranger Things and you get the Black Phone.
Yeah, because it did make me think of Stranger Things, actually, quite a bit. But again, that's just because they've gone for that 80s vibe. But yeah, that's quite a good, I think that's quite a good summary there.
Yeah.
Good one to finish on.
Yeah. Okay. I can take a hint, Han. You've had enough.
Oh, no, it sounded so bad. For the listeners.
A good one to finish on, Ellis.
One to finish on. Shut up.
Yeah.
He had put the laptop to the side at that point, can I just say?
Only so I could better see.
Of course.
The next review.
To get your spectacles out.
I think that's the worst podcast we've ever done.
Usually I say, oh, no, I think you'll be surprised because I think we had some funny bits in there. And no, I'm going with you this time. Do you know what's weird, though? I felt like we were really we've been really bouncy and energetic today, but still just produced shite.
I think it was just because we were struggling to remember it.
I think so. I think it works better when we're fresh.
We felt a bit funny talking about a film just cold.
Yeah.
Without having ate a load of sweets and watched a film.
Yeah. But you know what? They can't always be A1. You're gonna get a few stinkers. Oh. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.